And that was Our Father by Whose Name, and we are going to be looking at this hymn on Rumination Tuesday, October the 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Pastor Mark Smith, who usually is with us, is on assignment today, and so we are very pleased to have with us the Reverend Henry Gehrke. He's organist at Reformation Lutheran Church, where one of my former field workers, Dave Pelsu, is the pastor. And he also plays here at Synod, don't you, Henry?
Yes, at the International Center.
At the International Center. So I mentioned on the radio yesterday, I would hope that he would be here. Walked in and there he was standing there. So thank you very much. Our Father by Whose Name, it's by an individual that I'm not that aware of. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, F. Bland Tucker is his name. F., the initial for his first name of Francis. Evidently, he didn't like using that name, so he went with Bland. And I'm not sure where that name comes from in his family. He lived from 1895 to 1984. He was an Episcopalian priest for many years and served on a number of hymnal committees for the Episcopal Church. And our own hymnal, the Lutheran Service Book, has at least four of his hymns, including Our Father by Whose Name, All Praise to Thee, For Thou, O King Divine, Father, We Thank Thee, and Awake, O Sleeper, Rise from Death. And these are many times paraphrases of scripture passages, and he served that way.
This particular hymn is quite Trinitarian, with the first one talking about the Father, the second Jesus, and the third the Holy Spirit.
Right, and it's all focused on the family. He wrote this hymn in 1939, and our hymnal, I think, went back to some of his original language, because some of the hymnals use parents instead of father, and those kind of phrases throughout.
So without further ado, I'll read each stanza, and then I'd love to hear your response. Yeah, the first stanza is, Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who dost in love proclaim each family thine own. Bless thou all parents, guarding well, with constant love as sentinel, the homes in which thy people dwell. So, Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known. What did he mean by that?
That the fathers, our earthly fathers, are patterned after God the Father, and that they serve God by governing or supervising, guarding their own families here on earth, just like God guides and protects us.
You know, I used to think that God the Father, that he referred to himself as Father in light of the fathers already in the world, but you reversed it, that the fathers in the world are named such because of him, not vice versa.
Right, right.
So, like in Luther's explanation of the Lord's Prayer, he talks about a father loving a child to such a level. The one thing about God's love that is different than mine when I was a father, or I am still a father, but is that his love never changes.
Right.
There's nothing we can do to make him love us more, nothing we can do to make him love us less.
Right.
Which is quite different with fathers on earth. And that's kind of interesting. Our Father who art in heaven. In the Aramaic, I believe that was the word Abba.
I think so, too.
That they were saying, which is something that the Old Testament people never would have prayed, because that's like our daddy, and they would have been more formal with the word father. But that's how close. I remember a little girl once asked me, can I pray to God for a bicycle? She thought that wasn't very spiritual. And I said, would you ask your earthly father? And she said, oh, yes. And then I said, well, anything you ask your earthly father, you can certainly ask your spiritual father.
Yeah, very much so.
So our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who dost in love proclaim each family thine own. Now, the question I'd have for you is, every family isn't the family of God. So when we're talking about each family thine own, is this is from our point of view of God as creator?
Yes, it's God as creator. He's created all for his glory.
Exactly. And so there is no family that receives anything from anybody but God.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that does make sense. Blessed thou all parents, guarding well with constant love as sentinel, or sentinel. What does that mean, sentinel?
The love of God as sentinel means that God's love watches over us. He in his love, he cares for us. He watches over us, protects us, and preserves us and keeps us in the faith.
So a sentinel would be maybe a guard on a wall in a city?
Right.
And that's the purpose of parents. I like doing a little chart that the top of the chart is God, but the first line of defense that God puts in place are parents.
Yes.
And then the second line is when children reach a certain age, then the temporal matters are taken over by the government and the spiritual matters by the church.
Right. Yeah.
So when we're talking about, how would you suggest that parents guard well their children?
By bringing them to church in the first place, by reading the scriptures, getting their children to hear the word of God and learn how to pray the Our Father and address God in prayer.
Yes, where it says with constant love as sentinel, a lot of times people think of love as an emotion, but it's really an attitude on the part of God. And in fact, in Romans, 13, love is obedience to the law. A lot of people get that reversed. They think, well, as long as I'm obeying what I think the law is, that's an act of love.
Yeah.
But that really isn't. Love is the obedience to the law, and therefore with a parent constant loving, that means that they're obedient to the will of God in regard to their children.
And Luther even address parents, the father, the head of the household.
Yes.
That's the way he wrote his small catechism with that in mind, to help parents teach the catechism, the doctrine of Scripture.
It says, as head of the household.
Right.
And, I was listening to Issues, etc. not long ago, and one of the speakers was talking about that. With the advent of people going to church not every day and within walking distance, it soon became the task of the church to start teaching mm-hmm. the catechism, and he was hoping that there would be a return to the home.
Right.
Where the head of the household, and the head of the household doesn't mean that the father is superior to, say, the mother or such, because Jesus also had a head.
Right.
God the Father.
Right.
And so that doesn't mean subordination or anything. It's just a line of authority.
Responsibility.
Exactly. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to tell my own will, but the will of my Father.
Right.
And so he learned obedience in that way. So with constant love as sentinel, I don't know if parents recognize in this day and age what kids are learning in public school, etc., that they really need a sentinel. We need to get our parents to be equipping the children better so that they're ready for the onslaughts of Satan, either among their peers or schools or this sort of thing.
Right, and also we need to encourage parents with the Word of God and show them how they can apply the Word of God to their family.
Yes.
And bring their children up in that instruction.
Yeah, the best example is the temptations of Jesus, that he responded to the devil every time with a passage from Deuteronomy.
Right. Yeah.
All right, stanza two I'll read. O Christ, thyself a child within an earthly home, with heart still undefiled, thou didst to manhood come. Our children bless in every place, that they may all behold thy face, and knowing thee may grow in grace. So the writer is talking about, O Christ, thyself a child within an earthly home. The only difference is with heart still undefiled. What does that mean?
That he was without sin.
Yes.
And this, like the first stanza, this stanza is also a prayer to Christ, a prayer to our Father in heaven. And so here we address Christ, who was at one time a child and grew up. And we hear a little bit about him being in the temple, attending to his father's business also, and that he was, as a child, he grew up into an adult to carry out God's will, his father's will.
Yes, and throughout his entire life, he was undefiled, sinless, and that's where we get the righteousness. When we hear that we have the righteousness of God, we're not talking about his innate righteousness,
no,
but the works he did while here on earth,
right?
He transferred them over to us. There was that glorious exchange Luther talks about.
Right.
And that was the taking of our sins, giving them to Jesus, and taking his righteousness and putting it on us. Our children bless in every place, that they may all behold thy face. How does a child behold the face of Christ?
Well, first of all, in heaven, seeing Christ face to face is one of our prayers, that they would be with us as we go to heaven, but also that they see Christ in our lives, in our face, so that Christ, his kindness, his mercy is shown throughout our lives. And Matthew 25 is one example of where he talks about being, he says that you, when I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was hungry,
the sheep.
You fed me, and so forth.
Yes. And so they say, when do we do all these things? Whatever you have done to the
least of these, to these children,
you have done to me.
To me.
So the face of Christ is in our neighbor.
Right.
Well said. And knowing that they may grow in grace, that means to receive even more blessings?
To continue to live within the blessing that God has given us.
Excellent. All right, third stanza. And shows it Trinitarian. We've talked about the Father,
right.
Christ. O Spirit, who dost bind our hearts in unity, who teaches us to find the love from self set free. In all our hearts such love increase, that every home by this release may be the dwelling place of peace. So, O Spirit, who dost bind our hearts in unity? What does that mean?
We are united in Christ, as Christ prayed for us, that we be united with him and continue to live that way. The Spirit draws us into the church and makes us one with Christ.
Yes, and that's a unity that we have in the church. I know many churches in St. Louis, there are all kinds of different people, different cultures, different races, right, different nationalities and such. And by the way, as professional an organist as you are, has Reformation ever sung one of the hymns that they have written in Spanish?
Not lately.
Yeah.
But we do try to make that possible.
Yes.
Occasionally.
Yeah, as I drive around going to congregations, I have CDs where I'm learning Spanish.
Okay.
Believe it or not, yeah. Entiende Espanol. Do I understand English? No, un poco, just a little. But I'm looking forward to the time, maybe near the beginning of the year, that I'll have part of this program. I'll do it in Spanish and see. Because at least the Hispanics I know also know English.
Right.
So, but it's important. You know, this is a Lutheran hymnal, and you would think that the other language they'd have would be German, but it's Spanish that they use.
There are some German hymns that we have, Silent Night, but...
Is the German in the hymnal also?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. I was unaware of that.
And there's Spanish for that hymn also.
Oh, that's excellent. All right. The Spirit teaches us to find the love from self set free.
We don't live for ourselves.
That's right.
But we live for our fellow human beings.
It helps us understand the difference between a good work and what God considers to be a good work, which he calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit,
right,
is motivation.
Right.
If the motivation is out of self-interest, that's sin. But if it's out of love for Christ, then that's really good. And the love from self set free, that's what we need to be free from.
Right.
In all our hearts, such love increase that every home by this release may be the dwelling place of peace. I find that really interesting because that's how a lot of worship services end. The peace of the Lord be with you. So
right,
explain what that would mean in a home.
The peace of God is the stated reality of our relationship with God, that we are not enemies with God because he has sent his son to live, die, and rise from the dead for our benefit, for our peace. So he's established the peace with our Father in heaven, and that peace then infects our lives with peace toward each other. Then.
That's right. Excellent. In fact, the peace was one of the first words said by the angel to the shepherds.
Right.
In recognition of his birth. And it was the first word Jesus said after the resurrection when he
right,
saw the disciples in the evening. So it's appropriate
right,
to end with what you said about how the peace of God. We certainly appreciate you coming on. I have to, well, I shouldn't say have to, because I love to, preach in the chapel. Are you playing today?
No.
Okay. I thought you played yesterday, didn't
yesterday,
you? Yeah, yesterday. Okay, so I have to go to chapel, and with the help of, this is Pastor Henry Gehrke, we chose a hymn that you'll be able to listen to as we leave right now. It's called Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. So we'll conclude with that.
Never grudging for the lost ones that remain. Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.